To say that volumes 6 through 10 of the Ellington Private Collection don't match the brilliance of the first five is no major put-down. The first batch was stunning. If you love Ellington and you don't have them, what are you thinking about? This music is fascinating for the same reasons great writers' notebooks or great film directors' outtakes are. They reveal the mind of the artist at work. There's some first-rate stuff in this series, including splendid features for Duke's great soloists. But it's also fascinating to hear Ellington toying with different ideas that were in the air in the 1960s. That's Riva, a 1968 recording from Volume 9 of the Private Collection. The richly voiced saxophone harmonies are typically Ellingtonian, but the way those chords sway back and forth without going anywhere is not. On Riva, Duke explores the open-ended structures in vogue since modal jazz hit the scene in the late 50s. But Ellington was too fond of shifting harmonies to find much he could use in such static structures, and pieces like this were rare. Which makes it all the more strange that in the 60s, Ellington flirted with another harmonically simple trend, rock music. Scattered through volumes 7, 8, and 9 are pieces like the four-chord trifle, When I'm Feeling Kind of Blue, written by Joe Villasenor and arranged by her husband, jazz trumpeter Gerald Wilson. The alto saxophonist is Johnny Hodges. In the 60s, when business was bad for jazz, a lot of musicians took the British invasion as a personal insult. But Ellington seemed intent on slicing a piece of the rock pie for himself. This led him to concoct a few harmless big beat instrumentals, and this 1968 absurdity sung by Trish Turner.
If you want to make a hit with me, like the ultra aristocracy, if you want to be the B2B, be cool and groovy for me. If you want to, you may ABC. When you're pretty, you may XYZ. When you're lucky and get 1, 2, 3, be cool and groovy for me. We'll jump.
They could have done that one on Shindig. Jazz critics often decry any musician who shows commercial inclinations, so it's worth remembering that even the great Ellington kept an eye on the market once in a while. But critics are also right to observe that commercial instincts rarely bring out a musician's best. In any case, Duke proved time and again that he could write tunes that were pretty and simple at the same time, like Rod LaRock, named for a suave silent film star. The Ellington Private Collection is on the Saggio label, distributed by Atlantic. The 10 volumes are available only on CD and cassette. The CDs run over an hour. The cassette issues are missing a few tracks and lack the essential liner notes by Ellington chronicler and series compiler Stanley Dance. Through no fault of Dance, both versions have some incorrect recording dates and composer credits, unclear personnel listings, and even mistitled pieces. Music this important deserves documentation to match. Volume 6 of the Private Collection, a 1958 concert recording, is the least impressive of the new bunch. Volume 10, which contains a new edition of the suite Black, Brown, and Beige, is the most significant. I'll tell you about that next time.